Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, we remember the day that changed the world. As the U.S. prepares to honor victims and the families of those who died in the September 11th terrorist attacks 10 years ago, we hear the stories of some of those who lived through those terrible days.
This is CNN breaking news.
There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. There was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. Again, this is going on now in two cities. We have a report that there is a fire.
It was an event that changed the course of world history. Few will forget that fatal September 11th, 2001, when hijackers turned passenger jets into deadly weapons, killing thousands of innocent civilians of all nationalities in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. Speaking to Vatican Radio not long after the attacks on the Twin Towers, Cardinal Edward Egan of New York thanked Americans and people the world over for their solidarity and prayers.
This event here in New York of the World Trade Towers, the attack, has done immense damage to many, many people. Thousands have lost jobs. People have lost their businesses. Many people's lives have been turned upside down by the loss of wife and husband and child and friend and so forth. There are many, many people hurting for many, many reasons. And I would encourage your listeners to keep us in your prayers. We are a strong people, but we're a people that have been very gravely hurt by a terrible crime. And the understanding and the support of all the Catholic world will be welcomed and gratefully received.
The Pope at the time was John Paul II, who expressed shock and horror over the senseless bloodshed to befall the American people.
Today, my heartfelt sympathy is with the American people, subjected yesterday to inhuman terrorist attacks, which have taken the lives of thousands of innocent human beings and caused unspeakable sorrow in the hearts of all men and women of goodwill.
James Nicholson had just arrived in Rome when the attacks occurred. On September 13th, 2001, a shaken but determined Nicholson presented his credentials to Pope John Paul II as the United States' new ambassador to the Holy See.
He was still grief-stricken, as were we, as were all of the world, and he said to me that this certainly was not just an attack on the United States, it was an attack on humanity.
Yesterday was indeed a dark day in our history, an appalling offense against peace, a terrible assault against human dignity. I ask God to grant the American people the strength and courage they need at this time of sorrow and trial.
Americans found that they still possess this innate sort of organic sense of patriotism and love of each other and love for our freedom that we tend to take for granted on a daily basis in your life until something like this happens that threatens it. And it just caused an enormous outpouring of cohesion in our country. And it's also caused an increased awareness that this was not just an attack against the United States, that the whole world, the free world, people loving civilization and a rule of law are threatened by this, and that it only takes a relatively small number of people to disrupt this freedom and civilized life that people are enjoying and that have taken for granted.
Years after the tragedy, Cardinal Egan remembers the goodness and sacrifice of all Americans, especially those who first responded to the Twin Tower collapse.
If I had to sum up 9/11, I would say it was a time in which people taught this nation and the world how to be strong and how to be willing to sacrifice themselves for others. There was no indication in any of this that anyone was in there for anything but to help the other guy, anyone that might be underground, and then anyone who might be hurting as a result. And I really felt that if you want to sum it up, it was a tragedy, it was a crime, but it was a magnificent manifestation of courage and willingness to sacrifice self. In 2008, the successor of Pope John Paul II came to New York because we were 200 years old. And he insisted, and we were only too delighted, that he go down to pray at the site of the World Trade Center, the so-called Ground Zero, unless you want to call it rightly Ground Hero. And as he knelt there, I said to myself, well, now, here is the way in which all of this comes to a conclusion. The years have passed, and now we have the successor of Peter kneeling here, and somehow or another, it makes sense. When we got into the car with the Holy Father afterwards, I said, Your Holiness, I believe that you have brought a conclusion, a closure to this tragedy in the best way it could have been brought to a closure. And he just whispered to me, thank you. And I think we all have to thank him. The whole story of 9/11 is what it is, but there was so much goodness there that the evil was, I think, not only conquered, it was smothered. And I like to think that in April of 2008, we drew the curtain and we picked up the pieces and moved on.
During that visit to the United States, Pope Benedict knelt and prayed at the empty pit and construction site that was once New York's Twin Towers. The Holy Father blessed the site, praying for peace and healing.
O God of love, compassion, and healing, look on us, people of many different faiths and traditions, who gather today at this site, the scene of incredible violence and pain. We ask you in your goodness to give eternal light and peace to all who died here, the heroic first responders, our firefighters, police officers, emergency service workers and Port Authority personnel, along with all the innocent men and women who were victims of this tragedy, simply because their work or service brought them here on September 11th, 2001. We ask you, in your compassion, to bring healing in those who, because of their presence here that day, suffer from injuries and illness. Heal, too, the pain of still grieving families and all who lost loved ones in this tragedy. Give them strength to continue their lives with courage and hope. We are mindful as well of those who suffered death, injury, and loss on the same day at the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Our hearts are one with theirs as our prayer embraces their pain and suffering. God of peace, bring your peace to our violent world. Peace in the hearts of men and women, and peace among the nations of the earth. turn to your way of love, those whose hearts and minds are consumed with hatred. God of understanding, overwhelmed by the magnitude of this tragedy, we seek your light and guidance as we confront such terrible events. Grant that those whose lives were spared may live so that the lives lost here may not have been lost in vain. Comfort and console us, strengthen us in hope, and give us the wisdom and courage to work tirelessly for a world where true peace and love reign among nations and in the hearts of all.
Many people have asked, where was God on 9/11? The parish priest of St. Peter's Church, which used to stand in the shadow of the Twin Towers, has no doubt. He was always there. It was just that people didn't know where to look.
My belief is that God is always with us, even in the most terrible of circumstances, and that became evident in the very day itself. We saw the heroism and the sacrifice of the first responders, the firefighters, the police officers, you know, taking all sorts of risks, even giving their lives to be able to save people. And then in the days, the weeks, the months afterwards, so many people came here to see what way they could be of assistance and be able to try and rescue people. And then that stage finished, then just trying to find the remains of those who had died to be able to return them to their families.
Father Kevin Madigan was on his way back to the rectory from the 18th century Catholic Church in Lower Manhattan when he heard a plane had crashed into one of the Twin Towers. He spent the rest of that day and weeks to come welcoming and comforting rescue and relief workers, the dead and the bereaved.
My hope is that we be able to see what were the causes for this whole thing. One of the questions people ask me over and over again is, why do they hate us so much? And I think behind that question is a sense that we were totally innocent and they were totally at fault. And any kind of a conflict, there's always two sides to the story. And while I would under no circumstances believe that there was any justification for this attack, there were factors that occasioned it, started, and I think that after 10 years, if we can see, you know, what are the causes of these resentments, the causes of these grievances, and is there anything that we can do as Americans to try and change the situation so such terrible things don't happen again?
Since he's been the U.S.'s ambassador to the Holy See, Miguel Diaz has been doing his best that such terrible things don't happen again. He has organized dozens of conferences and roundtables to build bridges of dialogue between Christians and Muslims, people of different cultures, to increase understanding and respect across barriers of mistrust.
I think it's always important to tell the stories, to share stories even with people who were not there, as is the case with many of our kids. I think this is a good part of memory. And you tell that story in as truthful way as you can so that we can learn. And we can learn so as not to repeat or try to do whatever we can to prevent. This event that our embassy is sponsoring, 9/11, with a number of young people from all over the world, will be an opportunity for them to share their own vision, too, of what the future should be, what the present is and what the present is not, and what the future should be. And it is a way for diplomats and adults also to listen to the young people, because in them it's also found the seeds of hope. Clearly, the seeds of creativity and the seeds of new beginnings and a new earth and a new society that will hopefully be less violent and more peaceful.
Timothy Dolan was the auxiliary bishop of St. Louis, Missouri in September 2001, but in the spring of 2009, he became the new Archbishop of New York. My colleague Chris Altieri spoke to him about the events of 9/11 and how they continue to impact his life and the lives of so many others.
In his first public remarks addressed to the terrible events of that day, Blessed John Paul II called September 11th a dark day in the history of humanity and a terrible affront to human dignity.
I've only been here for 2.5 years, Chris, as you know, but without exaggeration, I can say that daily do I confront still the profound tragedy of September 11th.
10 years on, the Archbishop of New York, Timothy Dolan, says that September 11th and the questions it posed continue to be present to the people of his city.
There would not be a person in New York that would not have a poignant September 11th recollection. There, it would be rare that you would meet someone in this archdiocese that would not have been close to someone who lost his or her life on that tragic day.
Continuing to find words for the horror in the immediate aftermath of the day, Blessed John Paul II said, "The human heart has depths from which schemes of unheard-of ferocity sometimes emerge, capable of destroying in a moment the daily life of a people. But faith comes to our aid at these times when words seem to fail. Christ's word is the only one that can give a response to the questions which trouble our spirit." Archbishop Dolan says that the time between then and now has been filled with the deeds of men and women who have borne witness to the truth of those words in their lives.
September 11th has become admirably almost a holy day here in New York, certainly in New York, if not throughout the United States. And what I would like to say with immense admiration, too, is that what now seems to dominate, it would be two things, both which would come under the rubric of a resilience that would be found in the human heart and that I like to think is somewhat particularly at home in the American psyche and certainly in the New York experience, what New Yorkers like to call September 12th. September 12th stands out in the face of this vicious act of violence, both a renewed faith and, number two, a renewed sense of solidarity with the human family that leads to very creative service, love, and healing that has dominated.
Even if the forces of darkness appear to prevail, said Blessed John Paul II, again in his general audience on Wednesday, September 12th, those who believe in God know that evil and death do not have the final say. Christian hope is based on this truth. Archbishop Dolan went on to reflect that what he was calling September 12th really began on September 11th itself.
New Yorkers, especially, did not just wallow in the sorrow, the anger, a sense of loss, but almost immediately they began to serve, they began to reach out, and they began to heal. What we celebrate as well is the sacrificial love that in many cases led to the ultimate sacrifice, particularly among our police officers, firefighters, and rescue workers, that this community rallied around an unprecedented tragedy. To this day, Chris, you will see here in the Archdiocese continual outreach to the families, continual prayer, acts of tribute and memorial, that now have kind of answered the question that any man or woman of faith must ask, where does God want us to go from here? How does God want us to react to this senseless violence that is against everything that he has taught us through his holy word? And New Yorkers have said, we experienced a communal solidarity. We hold our heads high in the sacrificial love and service of our police, our firefighters, and our rescue workers. Parishes, communities, neighborhoods, and families came together, And to this day, taking care of those who were wounded and tending to the ongoing sense of loss about many of our people is a priority in the New York community.
The very need for continuing care speaks to the enduring nature of the wounds inflicted on that day. But when anger seems so proper and so necessary a human response to such evil, how does the church go about giving credible witness to Christ?
The greatest thing that the church can give, Chris, of course, is faith and hope and love. And the Catholic community of the Archdiocese of New York has done that abundantly. So you help people heal. You help people forgive. You help people recover a sense of hope at a desperate moment. And you teach especially that revenge is useless, that anger, righteous anger, that is certainly biblically grounded, leads to reconciliation and renewal. And then, in a way, the best way to get even is to rebuild. The best way to get even is to show that nothing can destroy a spirit in people of faith, which is a spirit that the American people have taken seriously since the dawn of our republic, that we are at our best when we emphasize and affirm what is most noble in our project, namely a sense of helping those who are hurt, a sense of rebuilding what we hold dear, a sense of proper mourning with reverent gratitude for those who have died, and a sense of helping their families get their lives back together. That, as a matter of fact, has been a constant of the last decade since September 11th. You can't go to any parish in the Archdiocese of New York where you will not see a memorial to those in that parish who lost their lives on September 11th. A tragedy can either further divide us, or a tragedy can bring us together. That's always the kairos. That's always the challenge. Will it bring us closer to God? Will it tap into the most noble sentiments in the human heart? Or will it reduce us? Will it bring out what is base? And I think one of the sentiments that now seems to be brewing in New York is that September 11th this year is not only an occasion to remember those who have died, but also an occasion to thank God that for the vast majority of in the New York community, September 11th became an occasion that brought out what was best in this community that we cherish. So an act that was most base and which most violated everything that's honorable in the human heart, from that came amazingly heroic, profoundly uplifting sentiments of rescue, outreach, healing, and memory. And that is well worth thanking God for.
In response to the 9/11 attacks, on January 24, 2002, Pope John Paul organized a World Day of Prayer for Peace in Assisi here in Italy. The event followed the initial World Day of Prayer in the same Italian hill town in 1986, and another while the Balkan War raged in 1993. Some 200 Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist, and other leaders of the world's different faiths came together and denounced the use of violence in God's name and rejected the making of religion a cause for conflict in the 21st century. The Catholic lay community, St. Egidio, has helped in the organization of these World Days of Prayer for Peace and similar initiatives around the globe. The community is planning a meeting of religious and lay people from around the world who will gather in Munich, Germany, on this year's anniversary of the 9/11 attacks to pray again for world peace. St. Egidio's International Department Chief Mario Giro told my colleague Luca Attanasio more about the initiative.
We think that is a turning point. We want to enter a new era. After 10 years of clashes, of war, of clash of civilization, so-called, we want to enter in an era of dialogue. Sant'Egidio has never gave up about dialogue. Dialogue is like life. We need to coexist, particularly in the areas of Middle East in which there are big or also little Christian minorities. And this gathering will be a new edition in what we hope will be a new era of gathering of religions. In Munich, in Germany, also that is important. As you know, we organize every year this event in the spirit of Assisi, after 86 in Assisi, this great intuition of John Paul II, that we want to continue. And this year we have been invited by the Archbishop of Munich in Germany, and Chancellor Angela Merkel will join the meeting.
Sant'Egidio volunteers have been instrumental in getting enemies to sit at the negotiating table to work for peace in Ivory Coast, the Republic of Guinea, and Mozambique. They provide counseling and care for AIDS victims and their families, advocate for a global end to the death penalty and the liberation of prisoners of conscience and hostages of violence. Well, Sant'Egidio has always believed in the healing power and the success of dialogue, even when dialogue seems impossible. So has there ever been a moment when they thought dialogue wouldn't succeed?
Never, in the sense that dialogue is difficult. Saying that dialogue is like life is difficult. Dialogue is also difficult. There is no such a thing like an embrassons nous, simplistic, and everything go in place. No, dialogue is difficult, but we need dialogue because our destiny is a common word, and in this common word we need to live together. The problem is that, for example, for the Muslims, it's very important to understand that the presence of Christian minorities is not only a question of Christianity, it's also a guarantee of pluralism and democracy for the Muslim world.
Since its creation more than 40 years ago, Sant'Egidio has promoted a series of interfaith sessions to stimulate the dialogue between Christian, Muslim, and Jewish leaders. One of the reasons for its success is that they have gathered enlightened, moderate Islamic scholars and Muslim representatives to participate in the dialogue. At the same time, their doors are open to more hardline Muslims.
There is a big reflection, a deep reflection into the Islamic world. Since 20 years, there is also a fight of legitimacy into the Islamic world. We have to help all those that understand that we have to live together in this earth. Not only the moderate, but also the real representatives, also meaning, I want to say, also the hardliners, but that want to understand the others. It's important to speak with the real representative of the Islamic world, that is, as you know, a very complex and articulated word.
Thanks there to Mario Giro, head of Sant'Egidio's International Department. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.